Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Holiday season. Holiday season, such an interesting time. Because it's a time when you feel your connection. Connection to your family, or the non-connection to your family. Connection to the people around you. When I was a kid, we used to hang out on a place called the Stoop. It was the Stoop. The Stoop was a stairs, and people would sit there at night. And they would talk, but not talk. You would hang out. Why would we hang out? What did we do? Why were we sitting there? Sunday would come around and we'd go up to Grandma's house and we'd have dinner at Grandma's house. Nobody really enjoyed it. Why did we do it? Because there seems to be some part of us that wants to feel our connection to other people as much as we can, as often as we can. There are many of you out there who feel connected to WBAI, the radio. The radio station, The Positive Mind, the program Pacifica Radio. What's so important about us? What is this connection that we're about? Are we connecting through our mutual pacifism? Through our belief that the world should be a better place? What is this connection about? Well, one would imagine with such a yearn for humans to be connected, most humans would feel connected. But in a recent survey that I did, I found that most of the people who I asked, do you feel connected to the people in your life? They said no. No, I feel kind of connected, but I feel separate. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if we found out that almost everyone felt more separate than they felt connected, more distant than they felt united? Well, that would make you feel kind of funny. It's like the funny thing about Christmas, you know? Christmas is funny because you think everybody else is celebrating but you. So you get depressed because you think you're the only one not celebrating. Well, connection is like that. What if very few people feel connected? Number one. Number two, what if it's not a good thing in the first place? I mean, who made it up? Well, it would seem. It would seem that a human community, a human family, must acknowledge its connection to each other. We have to be connected to ourselves, to the planet, to the earth. This is in theory, right? But something's happened to people. I've watched people become more and more separate. As people have grown more independent, as people have been able to supply themselves, as people have been able to live alone, they've separated themselves. And there are more individuals than there are collectives. And people are okay with it. They're happy with it. So we have to examine, is that an okay thing? Or should we do something to try to make this a little different? This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, at a time when we are celebrating holiday season, Easter. I'm going to answer my question, where did Easter get its name? Yes, I made it up. Here's the way I made it up, because the kid said, where did Easter get its name? Make up something, Armand, so I made it up. Are you ready? Here it is. Who celebrates Easter? Goyim, or Catholics, Christians. Who doesn't celebrate Easter? Jews, right? So, what's the difference between Jews and Christians? The bread, right, leavened bread. You have unleavened bread, Jewish, leavened bread, Catholic. How do you make bread leavened? You add yeast. So what is it when you are a person who decides to add yeast to a bread? You become a yeaster. So happy yeaster is really happy to somebody who puts yeast in his bread. And that's where it got its name. You take it to the bank, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Happy yeaster. Hey, connected. Who are you connected to? And do you yearn to be connected? See, a lot of people yearn to be connected, and they're not. And then there are a lot of people who are connected who wish they could get disconnected. Oh, my God, there are so many unhappy people out there who just wish they could break away from the way they are. So is connection something ideal? You're going to be talking to me about yours, too, today, because I'll be taking your calls about this all day. We want to hear it from as many of you as possible. But let's take a step first. There are certain people who have decided that they just don't fit in this world. They feel like aliens. They look at everybody else and the way everybody else does things, and they say, I'm not like that. I live in a different planet. I live on a different world. Do you ever feel that way? And you look at the folks around you and you say, what are they doing? What are they? Why can't I be like them? Why can't I love like them? Why can't I settle for the things they settled for? If you feel alienated, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is something wrong with you. It may mean you're just making a choice to opt out of something. The trouble is, if enough of us opt out of it, then the community is left with just the people who don't question anything, and they settle for lower standards. And therefore, what evolves is a community of people with lower standards. I want those of you who have real selectivity to be able to jump back in and become part of this growing, beautiful group of people that will be our next generation. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. So, how do you live? Are you connected? Or are you not connected? 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls early on today because I want to speak to you all day about this. The connection and the non-connection. Many of you decided that the way to stay disconnected is to build a beautiful environment for yourself and to live within your private environment. Have you done that? And you don't let anyone in. That's one way that people have done. Others of you have decided that you'll set down no roots, that you'll just keep on moving. Other people say, I'm connected to my children. But there's kind of an illusion there. Having children is like a connection and a non-connection, because they don't really know you. You know them, but they don't really know you. You're their caretaker. So this question came up because there are a number of people I know who are feeling very great pains about feeling separate now, separated by economical problems, by things that are happening, and they just feel a little desperate. The world is getting a little more desperate. And we're trying to reach our hands out to each other, and we're finding out that we've pulled ourselves so far away that we're not within reach of the other people. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Let's take one of your calls at 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Maybe a little early. We're just getting it lined up. 212-209-2900. My friend Michael is there. In the average world.
Hello?
There you are. Hi there. You're on the air.
Yes. Basically, I'm an only child, but when I was younger, a lot younger, especially in maybe junior high and younger, I used to be around both sides of my family a lot, used to want to be around people a lot. But definitely once I turned maybe like 20, 21, 22, I started realizing I was the only one really reaching out. And everybody else was busy doing whatever they wanted to do. And now I'm just recently 30 years old, and now I've made my life about me, and now there's all kinds of hypocrisy about, basically I know everybody behind my back is acting like I've abandoned the family, and I really, really resent that because I'm tired of people in general. This world is full of so many people that when things are good for them is when they want things to occur.
All right, so like, wait, stop. What's your name?
Ariel.
Ariel, tell me the real truth. Who betrayed you? I want to know specifically now. Go this past year.
My entire family. Anyone that I'm related to directly by blood.
Pick one. Your mom?
No. My mother's actually the one person that I feel really does support me.
Okay, so
as
who
best
else?
That she can.
How about your brother?
My grandmother, my aunts, my uncles. Because recently, especially, I've been trying to pursue creative endeavors, and basically, it's been claimed that I'm basically foolhardy and I'm foolish because I'm not making wise decisions.
And Ariel, who are you not making the wise decisions for? Are you
for
not
myself,
making?
Apparently, they basically think I'm not making wise.
They
decisions
judge you.
For myself, right? Yeah.
When so it's they like, don't love you.
Right. Yeah, I don't believe. I don't believe they love themselves either. So
okay, well, let's back that up. Hold on a minute, Ariel.
Yeah.
They don't love you. They don't love you. They don't
right.
see you.
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay, now stop with that one. You're just a kid. All you wanted to do was be loved. And here you got a whole bunch of people who are telling you what to do. And all you wanted to do was be loved. And it hurts.
Well, the thing is, though, I felt like I had all the love really that I needed, but that actual specific family, that feeling of family, is what was missing. That's what I was reaching out for. Love, I had all the love that I could ever need, honestly. I my mother gave me all the love that I would ever need for this lifetime.
Now, I can tell you, Ariel, there's a mistake in there. It's not true. Your mother didn't give you all the love you needed for this lifetime. Your mother gave you a lot of love,
right.
But she gave you just the wrong kind. Because there was a mother who should have also guided you to be loved by everyone else as well.
Oh, she tried. She's endured the same thing, and that's another thing that I resent.
So it's you and her not, against the world, huh?
Well, that's what it's become. You know, a lot of, we're foolish, but, she was wise enough to stop at one child when she saw it was only one child. I don't have any kids. You know, everybody else got.
So it's like it's almost like you and she. It's almost like you and she are a couple.
No.
I mean, by what you're both saying, it's the two of you against the world. Your dad's not around, are you?
No, he's around now. He's around now.
Things but he was never part of the formula, huh?
No, not before, no.
Yeah. Painful life you've lived, I tell you. Painful life you've lived, your mom has lived. Two of you have kind of united in some kind of way. But there's going to have to be a time when you step away even from your mom.
Oh, yeah, that occurred a while back.
Yeah.
I've been on my own for a long time, and I wanted to be, and that's what she's raised me to be, independent, and not afraid to do something simple, like take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
It might be scary, but it's not the hardest thing to do.
Well, you're a brave man, Ariel. I hope you can follow your path, right. And stick with it. If you ever need support, be sure to call me up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So there's a good example of it, where you have the illusion of a connection, and you don't feel connected. We're going to look a little further into this. 212-209-2900. It's very odd. I hear a lot of parents and children having relationships that are not parent-child relationships. They're like teams. Now, I don't want them to sound incestual, but it's like they become a union. It's me and mom against the world. But that's not what a kid's supposed to be. A kid's supposed to have a mommy, you know? Mommy protects me from the world, and then I go out into the world. But it's not me and mommy against the world. It's a different thing. Children who have mothers who become partners are really orphans. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi there. Yes, this is Keith. I drive a cab in New York City.
Hey, Keith, did I ever meet you?
Well, no, we spoke a couple of times.
Okay, because
go ahead.
I love the cab drivers of New York.
Right. No, I haven't met you. I met your secretary. I guess that's what you call her. What's her name again? One of the secretaries that's very close to you. You've mentioned her name before.
Well, there's a number of people, not only secretaries, office assistants.
Assistants, I guess. Well, all right, if I remember the name, I'll bring it up. But anyway, I was calling because, you know, I don't know if I'm the right person for this show because, you know, in my later years.
Wait a minute, Keith. You're the wrong person for this show.
Oh, you told me right off the bat.
You're the wrong person for this show. You're not allowed on this show.
Come on, give me. It's just that in my later years, I've attained a lot of balance, you know, and when you talk about connections, like I feel, you know, I mean, I don't know how genuine the feel is. I think it's pretty genuine, but I feel like connected to like everybody and everything. It's weird, you know. I mean, I've taken some spiritual classes. I mean, and not the religious classes, but still different types of spiritual thought. And it took with me very well. I've always been like kind of a seeker in life, you know. It seems that my life has just taken that kind of a road. And now my connections with people is that when I see them, I don't, you know, I get angry, but it's not so easy to get angry at people anymore because I just realize that not only are they people that have come through what they've come through, so how am I supposed to be blaming them for who they are? That's number one. And then number two is that they're really just another part of me, which is the life of everything, you know. So I don't have that much of a connection. I don't have a disconnect. Hello?
Yep, I'm right here. You know, Keith, you seem to be speaking the very words that represent this program. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. Yeah. You understand they're doing the best they can. How could you get mad at them?
Right.
You know, they do this irritating stuff. They sometimes act foolishly. They sometimes become insulting. But they're in pain. Most of the people are in pain.
Right.
Keith.
And I just want to say, I'm not a person who, because of that, has this kind of elite feeling or anything like that. You know, I have my own, you know, I have my own bouts of emotionality and all the rest of this kind of thing. But it's just that I understand it as being emotionality, you know, it's not me. It's what I have in order to express myself in this reality or society, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's what I use, but it's not really me. There's a deeper me that does feel that connection that I guess that we're trying to talk about here.
Well, you're the ultimate cash cab. You know, I mean, it's really kind of beautiful that to step into a taxi cab with you is to step into a world of acceptance. You know, how long have you been listening to our program?
I was, I would say since you've been on, because I've been listening to WBAI about 20 years now.
That's me, 20 years.
I think, you know, it's another thing I do is I can't, you know, everything to me is like time is like one long day. I can't, like, if somebody asks me, how many years have you been married? I'm like, I don't know.
It's one long day, right? Like a mosquito. You get born for one long day. It's really amazing. Hey, what happens when you get in the cab? Somebody gets in the cab and they hear programs as emotionally evoking as the Positive Mind. Do they say, shut that off and put on some music?
No. A lot of times they won't say anything at all. But BAI is a very pretty good conversation starter in a lot of cases. But, no, a lot of people, just like me, I listen to the show because I, you know, hearing people's pain and confusion, as I say, does not make me feel like any kind of doesn't give me any kind of elite feeling or anything like that. It just gives me a more understanding of what, you know, and the last thing I have to say is that, you know, I'm not really the biggest activist in the world or anything like that, but I have such respect for people who are activists, you know. You know, even in your own right, you're an activist, and, you know, I guess in my own right, I'm a little bit of an activist, you know, because, you know, I talk with people and I try to help them to understand things maybe on a level that I think that I understand them. But for the real activists, to have been born to be an activist is one of the greatest things that has pushed society towards, as Martin Luther King says, like the moral arc of the universe is very long, but it swings towards justice, and the activists are the ones that are pushing that swing towards the justice, you know? So,
Keith, you're beautiful. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, then bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have quite beautiful people here. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. We're talking about the connections and the misconnections. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. This is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Thank you for taking the call, because I'm really at a loss, and I love divine timing about how I turned on the radio and your show happened. It happened to be the time of your show. I need to reconnect with my son. He's 21, and when he was 2, his father and I were divorced, and it was not a good divorce. I left a emotionally, physically abusive relationship. More emotionally, and he was very controlling. And during the divorce and after the divorce, he was very controlling, and it was very difficult to keep normalcy for my son, for the both of us. I mean, I was not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not claiming to have handled this very well myself, but I did the best I could, and I wanted 100% for my son all the time. And then as he grew, you know, he grew up. And when he was 16, I had to move back with his father because there was problems with him and I. He was very angry. When he was younger, I would bring him to counseling to deal with his anger. I could hear that he was angry.
Well, Lisa, we're going to have to cut this just a little short because we're up to age 16, and he's 21 now. How are you two separate?
I had breast cancer I got for the second time in September, and he was living with me. And it was very stressful, him living with me at the time. He goes to college.
Where is he now?
He's with his father. I asked him to move in with his father.
Okay, so what is the disconnection? Is he angry at you?
He has a lot of feelings. He feels like there's nothing that he can do in my eyes that's good enough, which hurts me terribly.
So there's something that he gets...
His perception is so different than who I am. I can't believe I think I'm another person.
Okay, so now let me ask you, have you ever taken him to a third person to say, let's talk about this with somebody else?
I can't even get him to talk with me about it. Like, you know, I have in the past with my mother, who's been a wonderful catalyst. And because he went to therapist when he was younger, and I tried to work out issues of his anger, when he was younger, he's so anti-against any other party being involved, family or otherwise.
Okay, so your son has a fixed position for now, which he is using to defend himself against some other feeling of vulnerability that he doesn't want to face. And this has been going on for how much time now?
Long time.
So here's the problem. The problem is you need to connect with your son. And your son needs you not to need to connect with him. I know it is.
So that's why I feel like I should not connect with him at all and just be done with it.
And it's a different story. See, it's not be done with it the way you're saying it. The way you say be done with it, you mean like throw it away.
Well, don't talk to him. Just let it go. And when he's ready to come to me, he'll come to me, but not contact him.
This way with you. Imagine you were introducing a fish to a fish tank. You would lower it into the tank very gently in your hands. you wouldn't just plunk it in. It's kind of letting him go and letting him gently go, but keeping your own embracing heart around him at every moment in your own mind. You don't let him go as if you're letting him go with anger. You let him go and because you're giving him as much space as he needs. But your heart is always there, whether he knows it or not. It's in that way that your son will find the outer limits of his boundaries. He'll run away. He'll get to the edge. And then suddenly he sees he's about to cross the street, and he says, I don't really want to cross the street. Maybe I want to go home. And that's your way. So it's not all reactive. It's not you toss him completely away.
Well, I wasn't going to toss him completely away, but like instead of me, like I every now and again, I tried to, you know, dropping the fish in the water gently, and I'd call him every now and again.
Now, don't drop it in gently. You lower it.
Funny.
Yeah, it is funny. You're a beautiful lady. You know, you've got a lot of time. Your son's got a lot of time. He's going to find you. All kids do this. They run away from home. They run away from home, and when they get to the corner where they're about to cross the street and they realize there's nobody stopping them, they wonder whether they should cross or not. Some of them cross, and they have to come back. And the rest of them just sit on the corner waiting.
Yeah, he's been separated a long time. I thought we were building a communication again. But I thought we would get closer, and instead we've just gotten farther apart.
Well, you have needs on the other side. You're very isolated yourself. Aren't you?
In what respect?
Well, what else do you have in your life besides your son?
Oh, I have my boyfriend, who's my fiancé, unofficially, and we play all the time. I have a full life. I am so busy. I am never bored. I'm very active. I have a lot, but, you know, and I've done that because of my not having a relationship with my son when he was 16. I had to let him, you know, I was always there for him, but I let him go. Like, I had to move on with my life. I couldn't depend on him. He didn't want any part of me, so I did let it go. And then I tried to build the bridge and call once in a while and touch base. But it seems like I'm patient and waiting. I've been waiting for a year to hang out with him. And then it seems like when he's ready to talk, he was ready to talk on his birthday, and then I blew up. And then I didn't blow up. I was angry. I was hurt by what he had said in the phone call. He wasn't even going to stop by and see me on his birthday.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, and it happens just that way because it's not exactly ready yet. Listen, we're going to have to take a break.
Thank you. In fact,
I'm going to play music just for you today.
Well, thank you very much.
A special piece. You're beautiful. It's going to happen, okay? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, a song for Lisa. And this is Armand DeMille. This is for Lisa. Renata Tibaldi. Oh, mio bambino caro. Oh, my darling son. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Taking your calls, talking about your connections to people, how you feel with people nowadays. And we just want to get this opportunity to be able to get you on the air with us. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. DeMille. My name is Jane. I'm so glad to be on the air. I
Hello,
to
Jane.
Time. Hi, how are you? It's beautiful out today. Isn't it great out?
I can't tell. I'm in a studio.
Oh, no. You can't tell.
Well, we have to keep all the sound out, you know.
Oh, it's beautiful out today. It's really beautiful. I'm going to get my son from school. And I listen to you all the time. I drive around Newark seeing families for the hospital, and I try to catch you in between when I'm driving to my assignments.
So, why? Why do you try so hard to catch this program?
I find it very, very interesting, and I like to hear what people have to say. And the more I listen to people, the more that it seems we're so many of our frustrations and our joys are so similar, I think, what people feel. That people are more similar than they think.
So you feel like a messenger going between people, helping people see how connected they are.
I just sometimes you feel connected to people, sometimes you don't. I just I enjoy what I do. I work with young children that are disabled, and I also work closely with their families. And you develop relationships with the parents, and it does make you feel connected. It also helps bring you kind of outside of yourself. I was listening to your show last week, and there was a woman that was on. Her name was Maria. She's Italian, and she was from she's from Italy, and she lives in New Jersey. And I guess at some point I couldn't get on, and at some point I wanted to find out if you know, if she was looking for people to visit her. But it's interesting how you can be having a difficult day, and then turn on your show, and then listen to other people. And how it can kind of help you to forget your own problems and look outside of yourself.
Well, great. Yes, I remember Maria called in, and she did call in, and two people immediately volunteered to help her get down here. And we
couldn't get through. I couldn't get through.
We got those volunteers to her, and we gave her the choice, and she will be in touch with us.
Which would be great, because I'd like to, you know also if she wants some other visitors in Jersey.
We're going to have to develop a team of supporters, including you. We're going to be putting out that call soon.
Yeah,
to just get a bunch of volunteers who want to be supportive to each other.
I think it would be really wonderful, but...
But, you know, let me put out one more statement to everybody out there who wants to make a difference. If you want to make a difference in this world as well, give what you can to WBAI, not just in money, but give the support. Support the station. Let people know about the station. Talk about the station. Bring the station to people, and if you can, volunteer your services down there. Because WBAI is such an important entity that we have a chance to help this station, as well as the Positive Mind, as well as the people, just by giving as much as we can to it. It is one huge, beautiful family.
Sure. I think that listening to other people, sometimes a person can see themselves in that dilemma, or even in that joy when people call in and they talk about positive things that they're positive about and they're happy about, and I think we can kind of find ourselves in each other somehow. You know what I mean?
I sure do, Jane.
And I think that what's really interesting to me, I think, what sometimes brings us apart the most, which what it should bring us together, is, and my mother used to tell me this. You know, everybody has sorrows and everyone has troubles, and sometimes those are the things that make us. Pull us apart from each other, when in fact it's what makes us really more like each other than different from each other, and that you kind of try to bring us together, because I think that's how we're that's our humanity.
You're a wise woman, your mom.
Oh, my mother used to tell me all the time, may she rest in peace, and my father's gone, and I miss them very much.
I could hear.
But I talk to them, which may sound crazy. I just talk to them some. But she used to tell me all the time, and she was right. She used to say, dear, count your blessings. And when you're having troubles, too, try to reach out and think about other people, too. And
thanks, Jane. Thanks for passing on your mom's wisdom.
Yep. So, count, everybody, count your blessings.
Thanks a lot.
And have a great day. It's beautiful out. Once you can get out of the studio, I'm
I'll be out of there. 212-209-2. Thank you, Jane. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille on the air.
Hi, Armand. Thanks for taking our calls today.
Yes, I'm happy to.
Okay. I've been married to my wife for about 25 years, and we definitely love each other, but I don't feel connected like the way I
sure.
should. It seems like she always has a wall of protectiveness up around her because she had kind of a screwed-up childhood. She grew up without a father, and her mother wasn't the best mother, I guess you could say. And it's hard to get through there. It's like trying to get close to a stone sometimes, it feels like.
Yeah. So you tell her this, don't you? You tell her that I'd really need to be closer to you, but I can't get closer to you.
Well, yeah, we talk about it, but it's not really something that you could say. It's almost like I'm saying there's something wrong with you. Why can't you be close to people? But I notice, like, you know, I myself yearn for closeness in people, but it seems like she doesn't. And the way you were talking about sitting on the stoop, like sometimes you could just sit there and be, but which I'm happy to do. I could sit somewhere all day and just be there. But, like, it seems like when we go to my mother's house or something like that, she can only be there for so long, and then she's got to get up and get the hell out of there and just go anywhere other than where she's at for some reason, like she's looking for something. You know,
can you let her do that? Can you still stay while she goes off?
Oh, absolutely. There's not many things that we do together, seems like.
What's your name?
My name is Rob.
Rob, yeah. Yeah, there's not many things that the two of you do together, except you do sleep together.
Sometimes.
You do breathe together.
Yes, we do.
You do share something together that's exquisite. So now what I want you to do is I want you to dip into what's beautiful. What's your wife's name?
Brenda.
What's beautiful about Rob and Brenda? Tell me about the beauty of it. Tell me about the nonverbal, exquisite part of it.
Well, I'd have to dig for that.
Dig for it.
I guess what's beautiful about it is that we do have mutual respect, and we, you know, we try to just be civil with each other all the time. And I don't know what to say, Armand.
You know what I'm, here's what you've done. You've cut off this one piece that you know. When you get beyond the words and the behaviors, Rob, there's a connection you have with Brenda that you've forgotten about.
I would say that's definitely true.
There's a friendship, and there's a love that's so deep that you probably could never replace it.
Well, you're right about that. I would agree with that.
So if you were to allow yourself beyond your needs right now, to just feel the depth of that connection with Brenda. Forget her words. Forget her behaviors. Just see the beauty of her soul as you've embraced it, you know, as you've been close to it.
Yeah. It's hard to, you know,
sure.
find beauty in someone that you can't get close to. And when
but you see, now here's the point. Here's the point, Rob. It's not that hard. It's not that hard when you let yourself feel the beauty. It's just when you don't let yourself feel her beauty that it becomes hard.
Mm.
So what I need you to do is look at her as if she's the most precious flower.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to embrace her as if she's the most aromatic gas. You know, she's something you could smell. I need you to find a way to take her in beyond her words and beyond her wall. And then once you do that, you don't have to insist she changes. She'll feel that difference with you.
I've given up trying to change her.
I know. So what we're going to do is to make you the change. Open your heart again. Don't ask anything of her.
Sir, I will do that.
Keep me posted, would you, Rob?
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 212-209-2900, we forget. we forget. We forget how to let love be what it is. It's a feeling, you know. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello, doctor. I have a question.
Sure.
I'm contemplating suicide. Give me one reason why I should not.
I don't know. Why not? Well, first of all, you sound pretty intelligent.
Well, no doubt, but
okay,
that's when you really have a problem.
Let me ask you another question. You sound like... So here's the question. The question is, if they give you this gift... When
were
you get
they?
They, meaning whenever you're born, if you wind up with some kind of a gift of being able to speak, to communicate, to teach, the only thing that you lose, the only thing we lose by your committing suicide, is we lose the chance of you to teach some people who need someone like you. And this is what happens, you know, we cheat them. If I off myself, if I kill myself, then this gift they gave me, the ability to teach, the ability to communicate, that kind of gets lost. So you have a right to do anything you want with your own body. But give me one reason why you shouldn't. Because you have a lot to teach. And there's a lot of people who need you. That's the reason.
Talk about feeling disconnected. I didn't think the world needed me anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I need you.
At the least. I mean, I was laid off from my Wall Street job after 10 years. Gave them the best years of my life. Also, I tried to join a church. They say you're homosexual, you can't join this church.
Uh-huh.
I'm sick of this entire world, but
sure.
I do love teaching, and I do love students.
Sure, but you're a teacher, man.
I'm exhausted is what I am at this point.
I know, so you're an exhausted teacher.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
So take a shower.
Okay.
Get back
in. You're the second person to tell me that, so it must be by God's will that I hear your voice.
Take a shower and get back out there.
Thank you very much.
What's your name, by the way?
I don't want to tell you, but I will tell you. I don't care if anybody hears me. My name is Troy.
And Troy?
If anybody cares. So there we have it. All the best, doctor. Thank you.
Troy, thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye now.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi. Let's take another call. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello, my name is Cindy.
Cindy?
Yes. And I am very disconnected, and I'm sort of waking up to it, and I'm kind of shocked at how old I am and how I push people away.
How old are you?
42.
Oh, my God. No, really?
But it's,
I'm shocked.
But it's that I'm 42, and I have no children, and I haven't had a relationship in a while, and I don't let people into my apartment. I used to entertain a lot, and I got hurt a lot. And
yeah.
I made a mess in my apartment so that people couldn't come over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent so much of my time being terrorized by my super and the doorman making fun of me.
Oh.
And I didn't leave my apartment.
Oh, Cindy, you sound like such a lost child. I'm like such a lost child.
But also, the thing is, I'm starting to feel better. And
I know. I can hear you turning around now. You've been in a hole for a long time. You've been like a kid who is an orphan, you know?
I feel like I've been an orphan. You know, you were saying how if your mother was a partner, but my mother was somebody I had to hide everything from, who shamed me for everything.
Yeah.
And I always felt alone. And I don't know how to... I have some girlfriends, and I'm trying to share my ugliness with them because I think it'll... If they'll accept, if they see it, and they can...
Well, give me an example of an ugliness you would share with a girlfriend.
How I feel about my weight.
You mean because you feel overweight and you hate yourself?
Well, that's the thing. That's also what pisses me off. Whatever size I've been, I felt overweight.
Uh-huh.
But I felt disgusting about my body.
So when you go around and you tell people now, I want you to know the real me and how I'm very disgusted about my body. I feel disgusting. And I want you to accept me for the way I am and my feeling disgusted about my body. And they're going to say to you, but your body's not so disgusting. You're beautiful. Da, 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 da.
Or they say, why don't you do something about it?
Or they say, why don't you do something about it? So why do we talk to them about your disgusting body? Why is that what you're bringing to them?
Sometimes it's other things. It's not just that. It's
But Cindy, you're also an artist, aren't you?
I never, you know, I've done everything but art, but I've always, as a child, I was an artist, yes.
Yes, and what happened to your art?
It wasn't, I guess it wasn't encouraged.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you, what would it take for you to go back to it?
I'm so afraid. I don't know where to begin. I have no medium because I've been doing this and that, but I have no...
You've been doing a lot of different things, yeah.
And everything I didn't like, engineering, law, business, everything my Indian parents thought.
So everything was like really down for you until recently, and now you feel yourself coming into the sunlight again. You feel the light beginning to lift. You feel yourself willing to come out.
Yes.
And when you come out, you're going to say, the way I'm going to come out is I'm going to show myself to everybody and make them like me.
I don't know about make them. I'm trying to just not care what they think.
That's right. Just be yourself. You know, and you know it's a great thing, by the way, Cindy. I know it's tough to do. Go to an Al-Anon meeting. Go to a place like an Al-Anon meeting where people are around you who don't judge and they're free. And just be around people where you talk and you don't get feedback. I love it. There's no crosstalk. It'll help you.
I'll do that.
Yeah. They're easy to find around the city, you know, and it'll help you get yourself back in the world without having people judge you. And welcome back to the world. By the way, it takes 42 years to get to wisdom.
Thanks. It sounds like you, I've been listening to you for a while, and it sounds like you were wise at a very young age.
No, I arrived at a very, yes. Yeah, it was very young. It was somewhere about 3 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling
in. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille taking your precious calls. 212-209-2900. So you see, connection is kind of a funny thing. You either get it or you don't get it. It's not about who you're married to, who you embrace, who's that close to you. It's really about your spirit. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I just turned my radio down.
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Armand?
Yes, could you talk a little louder, please?
Yes, yes, sure. This is Monica.
Hello, Monica.
When I was very young, as young as I can remember, my mom used to be very bonded with me. She used to literally cling to me, and it was almost I was her spokesperson, even with my father. And that's the kind of, that's the way I grew up.
Not such a nice way to grow up.
No. It took me a long time to realize.
Was this in India?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you separate from her?
First is I went away to study.
Good. When you studied medicine?
No. When I was around 20, 22 or so, I went to do my B.Ed., that's Bachelor's in Education,
uh-huh.
And I was a teacher. It was very liberating when I was a teacher because I was bonded with other children. Then, of course, I got married. I left. And now I'm abroad, so... It's a big separation, and it's always like, for many years, it was almost like a guilt feeling. She made me feel I had left her. But I think now I've overcome that.
Well, Monica, let me ask you something. What are you going to celebrate over the next 2 days? What kind of celebration for Monica can there be?
Like a resurrection.
A resurrection of Monica?
Possibly.
Yeah, do you feel it coming?
Yes.
Do you feel that in your spirit? When's the last time you danced?
I learned dancing as a child, but I didn't.
Yes, but you haven't been dancing much, and I need more dancing coming from you.
All right.
Well, how are you going to do it? What are you going to dance? How are you going to dance this weekend?
I don't know. I didn't think about it.
Well, think about it now.
Probably just play some lovely music and dance myself.
Dance yourself, right?
Yes.
If I were to play you lovely music today, would you dance to the lovely music I play?
Sure.
Good. Well, then I'm going to do that for you by the end of the program.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to play that for you because I think your dance will bring you to the freedom you're looking for. That's what I think. You're a beautiful person. Monica, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Armand.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I guess we're going to have to play a little music for Monica. And here we go. And we are going to be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends, with more incredible programming. My special thanks to everybody at WBAI and the group from Pacifica who's visiting. I hope everything comes out just perfectly. You can get a copy of today's program at WBAI.org, or you can go to thepositivemind.com. My love to all of you, my friends. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m.